We'll start the service, and as we do, I'll get you to turn in your Bibles. We're looking at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to be focusing on verses 1 and 2. The title of the message is Children, Obey Your Parents in the Lord. Children, Obey Your Parents in the Lord. Before we start looking and before we read the verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, I'd like to share with you a different verse from the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 127, verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So children, there's actually something special about children. There is. There's something special. We know when we see a child be born for the first time to a family and that family's not had any other children, it's such a special thing. The firstborn has arrived and maybe some subsequent children might come too. Well, children are a gift. They're a gift to parents. And children, there is something special. The Bible tells us here in the book of Psalms that children are a heritage of the Lord. There's something very significant about a child. And a good way of thinking of it is a child is like a little us. They kind of look like us, don't they, even, for some reason? It's interesting. Children even look like their parents. I remember a friend of mine saying, you know, Stephen, this lady was saying she was at a hotel and she went to get on the elevator and then she saw this lady in the elevator with brown hair. And there was a child in the lady's arms and she looked up and saw this child. The child was asleep and it looked up and the child was Micah, my son. And she goes, "I saw this child and I actually got really freaked out because I thought I was looking at you for a second." So isn't it interesting how children can look even strikingly like their parents at times, or they can look very similar to their parents? Well, of course, because they're in the image of their parents, they're from their parents' seed, but children are something special. And the Bible makes this clear. They are something special and they're like a feather in our cap. You know, it is a nice thing to have children. You know, some people choose not to have children. That's fine. Some people are never able to have children and that's okay too. My sister was never able to have any children. She tried, but she was never able. So those of us that are fortunate enough to have children, children are a feather in our cap. Children are important. Children are important. There is a special something about kids and we need to respect what God's word is telling us there. Again, the book of Matthew chapter 19, Jesus in his ministry emphasized that children were not something to be ignored. Children were something that were important. Matthew chapter 19 verse 14 says, Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus placed emphasis on children. Children are important, you know, and children ultimately are just like what we were however many years ago, you know, it was before we were their age. So yes, the Bible puts an important emphasis on children. Now, today's message in the book of Ephesians, we're going to be talking about, you know, we're going to be talking about children and their direction, children and their potential, and children and their development, and what the Bible actually wants us to know there. So let's look at verse 1. It says, children, what's the next word? Can everyone read it together? It's one of those words we don't always like to hear. It's a bit prickly in our sides at times. What's the word say? Children,
obey.
Obey. Good. So the first verse comes, it's quite clear. It says, obey. It starts with a command. It's quite direct. It's not fluffy. It's children, obey. Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord. You know, children, if you're here today and you're listening, there's a few children in the room, so that's good to see. Children, your parents are a unique privilege. Do you know there's a movie? I remember watching it as a child. Anyone in the room can remember it? Raise your hand, feel free. The movie of Annie. Does anyone remember Annie? Now, Annie was about an orphan. I remember watching it as a kid and I found it very sad. I was like, where's my mum? I want to give her a cuddle. Okay, Annie was a movie about an orphan and it was a young girl and she, I think it was in New York City, and this guy ends up adopting her, and she's adopted. Now, not having a parent is a real thing that some children find themselves in, and they have to be orphans. They have no parents. This is a situation that children do not like, okay? So children, if you have parents, you be grateful for your parents, because your parents are given from God. They are ministers to you from God. They can show you things. They can teach you things. Hopefully your parents can guide you towards God and not away from God. Hopefully your parents are believers and they can guide you towards the things of God. So parents have an important role, but children are to obey. So again, the verse starts with a command. Children are to obey. Now, children are not to rule the roost. Children occasionally can rule the roost. It's interesting. You know, I remember I used to be a school teacher, and a lot of the theory around that time when I was a school teacher was about 2008, 2009. There was some new theory in education that we need to let children learn of their own accord. Forget all this memorization, boo-hoo to that. What do we need memorization for anyway? A, B, C, D, whatever, you know, a bit like that. All these no rules approach. Let the child play. Let the child experiment. You know, if he gets a little zap here and there, so be it. Okay, I don't know what their thoughts were there, but there was this very different kind of loose approach. It just doesn't work. What's important is boundaries. What's important is direction. When we have boundaries, when we have direction, we have safety. And a child has safety when there's strong boundary and strong direction. Now, on Thursday night, I was playing basketball. I was playing at Carrara, and there was a soccer game on the next court, and we were playing basketball. So there's a soccer game there, and we're playing basketball. Now, when we were playing basketball, you know, our ball stayed on our court. We were okay. But a couple of times, we had that soccer ball go whoo, straight past us. There was no boundary. I remember one time, one of my opponents just instinctively reacted and kicked it back. Very athletic. It was impressive. If there's no boundary, you can get hurt. If that soccer ball hits you and trips you up, you'll go down. I'm thinking it's not very good. They need a bit of a boundary there, don't they? Boundaries have a role, okay? We think of cars, and you think of if there's no boundary on a road, has anyone seen cars that have to travel and they're in areas where the roads get a bit frozen over or ice? Does anyone know what I mean? You're from Canada, so you might. So you, when you've got a bit of ice or a bit of stuff on the road, if there's not a boundary, you'll be la-di-da-di-da-di-da, blink, you'll be in the drink, won't you? You can't even see the road. You have to have a boundary, okay? So children are no different. They're no different to us. They're no different to cars, no different to what to any of those situations. Children need a boundary. They need the rules. They need the guide. Parents are the ones that are uniquely given to children to set these boundaries and rules, and also to set the example themselves. Parents, hopefully, are a good example to their children. They exemplify, they show how to act, how to be godly, how to be up, you know, how to be forthright with people, how to do the right thing. And so children have this example from parents, but children ultimately, and this is my point, children have to choose. So it's all good and well. You can actually be a very godly parent and do the right thing, but your children has to make the choice. It's even the same with salvation, isn't it? I don't think anyone here would argue that salvation is achievable by the parent for the child. No child can be saved through the parent's decision. It's got to be their own decision. Obedience is the same. Obedience is the child's decision. We can pray for our children, we can guide our children, we can show them the boundaries, and we can discipline them if they're naughty or if they disobey the boundaries, but it is their decision, and they are the ones that have to learn and to decide. You know, this is sometimes a situation we see. We see this where there is a child or a young person, and they don't They cross the boundary. They go too far. This can be, for a parent, a very sad and very devastating situation at times when a child is naughty or disobedient or, you know, does the wrong thing. I can remember a cousin of mine growing up. Don't hold this against me. It wasn't me. It was my cousin. It sounds bad. It was true, though. He went up to an old lady when he was about 5 and he pulled her earrings out straight through, pulling them out. He was a very naughty boy. The parents had to deal with some stuff with him, okay? Now, kids can be very, very naughty. Children can be naughty. Children can do the wrong thing. But God, He gives us, even here, when children are naughty, God gives us a means. He gives us a way that we can still teach and discipline and in love show our children how to do the right way. And again, that's what something Peter touched on in an earlier sermon. I think it was about 3 or 4 months. I can't remember. 3 or 4 months ago. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness, that's a strong word. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Well, that's not good. So children have foolishness bound to like their heart. You don't want foolishness bound to your heart, do you? Well, children have that. Okay, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So children are to discipline parents are to discipline their children. Children need our love, but they need our correction. They need our discipline. They need our guidance, and we are there to help them with that. Now, when we look at children, we say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, children undergo this period of training. Children are ultimately training to be like us, I guess, and they're training to be a future adult. They're a mix of mum and dad, and they become an adult when they grow up and they live their own lives. There comes a time when the adult has less influence. Do you know what I mean? So right now, if you've got little children, right, you might go, nah, he's going to be my child forever. You might think like that. I know that's an easy thing for me to think about my kids. They're not going to grow up. They're going to be my little kids forever. Well, one day Phineas is going to be bigger than me, I think. He's almost there now. Okay, Phineas is probably going to be bigger than me. Now, kids grow up, okay? Kids are ultimately in training to be future adults. If we're not careful, though, this training can go wrong. We have to be careful. You know, when someone's training to be a pilot, or if they're training to be a doctor, or if they're training to do whatever you might consider, there is a very specific number of things they have to go through. They have to be faced with lots of situations that are at times critical or dangerous. There's all these things. You know, you look at pilots who are involved in air traffic accidents or these devastating accidents, like the one we heard about in India recently where everyone died bar one person who amazingly survived. Those pilots, flying hours was one of, and their training was one of the first things scrutinized. If a pilot has poor training or not enough training, they're just more likely to crash the plane. It's devastating. Everyone dies. This is not good. Training matters. Training avoids major catastrophe. So with children, there is a limited time to study and learn. It's like a pilot who's in training or a doctor who is in training. I know for doctors, they don't get to stay as a junior doctor forever. If they don't do something else, they kind of get, see ya, they get booted out to do something else. If they're not training towards ultimately becoming their own specialty or something, they don't get to stay in the field. So training as a child is only for a limited time. They have to learn what they can as best as they can. So parents, again, offer this unique training, the love and correction towards their own kids in a time of utmost importance. Just these, how many years is, you know, well, technically it's what, 18 years? Maybe a few more if they live with you for a few more years or, you know, but you've only got this limited time with your kids. We ought to be consistent. We ought to love them and we ought to discipline them in love. And most importantly for parents, we ought to be centered on the book. We ought to be centered on the book. So the Word of God, the Bible should be what we should be able to teach our kids about and talk to them about even every single day. You should be able to answer your child's questions from the Bible. Give them an answer, and when you give them an answer to a question they're asking you, explain it in a way that is God-honoring and as what the Bible would have you say. That could be a challenge, but I would challenge parents, answer your children so they become godly thinking and not just thinking in practical terms. We're not just training children to be good people, we're training them to be godly people and to serve the Lord. So parents can work and teach their children to be centered on the book. All right, now let's look at verse number two. So verse number one was children obey. Children obey, and it's obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So your parents are there, they're there to guide you. Listen to them and obey them. Don't dishonor your parents. Don't disrespect, don't be disobedient. It doesn't go well if you do, and it's not right to do this, okay? I want to make a mention here quickly. Sometimes parents, guess what? Can't say this too loud, but sometimes parents make mistakes. Did you know that? Sometimes parents can make mistakes. A parent, I think if you make a mistake, it's okay to have humility with your child and say, look, I probably didn't approach this the best. Sometimes you can't do that when the kid's little. You just got to move on. But I think a parent still needs humility. I think that's still an example of teaching your child, if you do make a mistake as a parent, to say, look, I probably should have approached that differently. There's nothing wrong with that. Alrighty, verse 2. It says, honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So here in verse 2, Ephesians 6 verse 2 says, honour your mum and dad. So honour your parents. You know, our parents are people that we're meant to honour. So for example, if you've got a king or a queen, I think technically we are kind of under King Charles. We are, so we should honour King Charles. We don't say, oh, he's a loser. Well, that's, hang on, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that about your boss if you want to keep your job, you know. You don't talk like that about your parents, and you don't talk like that about your king. So your parents, you honour them. You honour your parents. You talk well of your parents. You respect them. You show love. You show gratitude towards your parents. Your parents are your providers. And while you're growing up, they're your teachers, okay? So honour your mum and dad. Now, some children don't do this. Children we're talking about here. Some children choose to dishonour their parents. We know what I'm talking about. You've got kids and they're disrespectful. They don't listen to their own parents. And there's problems in the home. Children that do not honour their father and their mother, well, guess what? This command from God's word from verse 2, it has a special caveat or a special promise. It's like a little added bonus. It's interesting. When you look at the army is a tough job. These people, they're going and they're going to, on the battlefield. They may be deployed into critical situations where there's bombs going off, there's bullets being shot. Well, the US Army, for example, offers many incentives, these little bonuses, to get people to sign up. They'll give you a sign-on bonus. They might put like $50,000 in your account if you sign up. They'll give you a home loan. They'll give you all these things. They'll help you get a car. They need people. There's all these bonuses because the job is so hard. So these bonuses are sometimes, they're quite good. They're quite nice. The Bible here says, children, for this command, there is a special bonus. You go, oh, special bonus, but I'm only a child. Well, what is it, Steve? All right, well, the bonus is this. It comes back to the Old Testament, and it's referenced in Deuteronomy 5:16. So turn with me as we look at the special bonus that one receives for obedience to their parents. So all the way back to the start of the Bible from Deuteronomy chapter 5. What is this special bonus for kids? There is a special bonus. Deuteronomy 5:16. This is in the Ten Commandments from the book of Deuteronomy. The Ten Commandments are also listed in Exodus 20. Okay. But verse 16, it says, honour thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be, what's the next word? Huh? Prolonged. Good. That thy days may be prolonged, and it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It doesn't just say prolonged, but it says that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's almost like you get a long life and that it'll go well with you in the land. It's a life of peace in the land that you live, and it's a long life. So here from Deuteronomy 5:16, we're seeing that a benefit of obeying God's word is long life. But also, so let's go back to verse 2. Verse 3 says it as well, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. So children, you know, you might only be 10 years old. Some of you kids up the back, Finn is 8, okay? Elena's 11. So you kids might be under 10 years old, but you've got a chance to live an older life right now. Guess what? There are people in their 50s and 60s right now, and you may struggle to understand what I'm about to say, but if they would give anything, they would pay any money to know that they could live a longer life. Because we see it every day in medicine. People pay for these drugs. Oh, doctor, keep me alive. What do I have to do? I'll do anything. Because that is people's sincere attitudes. Rightfully so. They don't want to die. Okay? But the Bible here is giving us an easy answer. Children, while you're young, you honor your parents. You obey your parents because the Bible promises long life to those who do that. So isn't that exciting? That special privilege for those, that benefit for those who obey God here, honor your parents, and you'll have a long life. Okay? I think it's fair to say that not everyone who honors God, you know, some people do die young. Some people die young for, you know, they have a major accident or something happens. But in general, the Bible here, it's not lying, it's telling the truth that we will tend to live a long life if we honor God. Now, does anyone remember that those boxes, and they had the lid, and they had that little clown thing or whatever it is that kind of just springs out all of a sudden, and you have to wind it? Does anyone know what they are? Hands up if you're familiar. You're jack-in-the-box. Good. So a jack-in-the-box, you have to wind them. Now, they're kind of scary, aren't they? Because when you're the one actually winding it, you just don't know when it's going to go bang, okay? It's a bit like throwing a firecracker in the fire and you're sitting there waiting for it to go boom, okay? It's random. You really can't predict when it's going to go off. So it's interesting because, you know, our time with our children is like winding up that jack-in-the-box. We have a time and we can wind it. And we can work it and we can use that special time with them. But guess what? One day, it's going to be gone. I remember my mother telling me about this when I was a child. Her time of influence on me was for a season. And then one day, that time of influence would be lost, where I would grow up. Well, yeah, sure, she would still be my mother and I could still talk to her and I could still speak to her and visit her. But ultimately, children grow up to be adults. The jack-in-the-box, you don't know when, you can't always call it, but it's going to leave. Our children grow up and they grow up to ultimately leave. They're not intended to stay as children forever. So because our kids are leaving us one day, sometimes parents, and I've seen this as well, and I'm sure some here have, they try to get their hand on the lid and go, hold it down. You're staying, right? You see it sometimes, you know, and young ladies, you know, and they won't get married for a bit longer or whatever it might be, or just a young man and they just stay in the home maybe for a long time. There are times where parents try to control their kids, but ultimately we can't predict when it's God's time for that child to leave the presence of the family and to move on to their future lives. Now, this training that we can give them is for the time that we have them. Parents, yes, you'll influence your kids once they're grown up as well, but they'll be adults and they'll make their own decisions with their own families. and their own children, and the dynamic will be quite different, okay? But ultimately, you've got this chance to influence them now. Now, some children will grow up, and guess what? Some children will grow up and make bad decisions. So even with the godly upbringing, which hopefully I'm encouraging you towards today, and hopefully that's something that you're doing in your own lives, in your own families, some children will make the wrong choice. It's interesting. I'm going to give some biblical examples of this, which it's not always a nice thing to think about or talk about. But, you know, Adam was a good guy. You know, he sinned. He brought sin into the world, but he also knew he made the most of the situation. He had a couple of kids. What were his kids' names? The first two, what were they? Cain and Abel. Now, it's interesting, you know, Adam, you know, spoke with God directly and in the garden, and yet, children, Cain was the first murderer. He murdered his brother. He killed Abel, okay? So sometimes kids will get it. The Bible shows us examples that, you know, children can be taught well, and despite this, things can go wrong. You know, Jacob is actually a little bit of the opposite. He was a father who made a mistake with his son, Joseph. Does anyone remember the mistake that he made? He showed a little bit of, and the coat of many colours was the example. He showed favouritism towards one child. And it's interesting, Joseph was faithful despite the faults of his father, despite the faults of his parents. And, you know, he was used to actually save the family and to save many people's lives when he was taken over into Egypt, okay? So it can go both ways. Sometimes the child can get it wrong, despite a good example from the parent. Sometimes the parent can set a bad example, and yet the child will be diligent and serve God faithfully. Another example is Hezekiah. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Chronicles 33. So back in the start of the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 33. So Hezekiah, before we start reading at this passage, Hezekiah was a godly, godly man. Okay, he set an example. He was upright. He was the king of Israel. And he had a son. So this godly man, Hezekiah, who did right, he brought the nation of Israel towards the Lord and not away from the Lord. And he was commended in God's word here in chapter 32. We meet his son. His son's name was Manasseh. Manasseh. If you've read much of your Bible, or if you know, that name runs a tingle down your spine. Manasseh. Manasseh was known as an evil king. Have a look. It's interesting because remember I spoke about Jack in the Box, and we can wind it up, but we just can't predict when the thing's going to go spring. Manasseh, verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. 12. How old are you, Jackson?
16.
Okay, so he's older than Manasseh was. 12 years old. 12 years old, and he was called up. So he had to become king at this young age of 12. Now, he had every opportunity to do it right. He had a godly father. Yes, granted, he was given this responsibility at a young age, and that could have hurt him, and that he was immature and that he's made bad decisions. But he had a good father up until this time. Then his father's gone, and now he becomes king at the age of 12. Let's look at some of the things he did. Look at 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12. Okay, sorry, let's actually look. Before we look at verse 12, look at verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, to make their actions worse than the complete ungodly, the haters of God. He made the Israelites' actions worse than them. That's the opposite of what you want. Whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So Manasseh, he was a really, really bad guy. He was so evil. He got into witchcraft. He killed one of his own sons, okay? He was an evil man. So Manasseh was a bad guy. He was into bad stuff. But what's interesting with Manasseh, there was an interesting thing that's happened. And it's going to come back to our passage in Ephesians 6. Manasseh, have a look at verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So Manasseh, he went out and he lived his life. The age of 12, he got into power. He turned to wickedness. He turned to idolatry. He set the nation into that pathway as well. He, for a time, he stayed in that pathway, and then it got to a stage where he then repented for his sin and he got things right with God. So Manasseh, he turned his tide. He turned around and he got his heart right with God. Verse 15, it says, not only did he get his heart right with God, he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built. So he had built altars for false gods. He took them then back out in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. So he truly repented, and his actions showed this. He went to make it right, and he tried to repair Israel of the damage that he himself had done. It's interesting that he did this, and yet we know from 2 Chronicles here that the nation actually didn't follow him. They stayed in that with that evil spirit. And despite his turning around and his repentance towards God, the nation of Israel didn't repent, and they kept their heart hard towards God. So yes, Manasseh did repent later in life, but the nation didn't. Just turn back quickly to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So sometimes children, you'll see, and you can imagine a parent may never live to see this, but a child, because of the influence from their godly parents at a younger age, yes, they may go away from it. The Lord for a time, but they might always come back later as well. We never know. And you know, that can be hard if you see your children walk away from the Lord at a later age. Sometimes children do this. We don't want them to. We don't encourage them to. But God could always, after you're gone even, you never know, they could always come back. And Manasseh was an example of that, okay? So he repented later in life, although it was too late for the nation at that. Manasseh did himself. His heart did turn around. Last example of this was King David. David was a man after God's own heart. But David was an example of, you know, parents, watch out for your sins. Watch out for your sins. Okay, so David had sins which he certainly committed. I don't need to repeat them, but we know he committed a lot of sins. He murdered a lady's husband, and he took her for his own wife. He committed adultery and he committed murder. So his sins also, guess what? His kids matched his sins. Not only did his kids match his sins, his kids committed way, way worse, okay? And the sins of the parents, sometimes the sins of moderation of the parents become the downfall of the children. Parents, we don't want to sin. Clean life for the Lord. We need to set an example to, because what wrong might follow, so get a whole lot. Do that. Parents, remember our example to our kids. David was a person who, yes, he was a man after God's own heart, but his faults were amplified in that second generation. Abraham is an example of this, of a child where the parents' fault was then amplified in that second generation. So again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Our children's youth is a unique chance to train them. It's a unique thing. We can never bank everything will go to plan. We can never, you know, fully count that, oh, a kid will get to 18 or they'll get to 22 and then they'll do this and then they'll get married and then it may not. You just don't know. We don't know when death might come. We don't know when other things might come. Accidents can happen. We can't predict life and we can't always bank everything will go to plan. If anyone assumes that, they'd be a bit unwise, okay? All we can do is we can take our privilege and our responsibility of these little young ones that we have, and we're to train them up, we're to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So my final challenge is to children. I'm going to close and speak into children. You've got your parents. You respect your parents and you obey your parents in the Lord, because this is your chance to honour God. And children, again, I'm going to touch on, this is a commandment with promise, because you will live a long life. You'll live a life of peace in the land if you obey your parents. Okay, so children, obey your parents in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that this afternoon we can just focus on your word. And Lord, let this be a reminder to children and to young ones that we are to listen to our parents. And we have them for a time. And one day we may not have them, and we definitely won't. One day they'll be gone and we'll have to make decisions of our own. And one day we'll be teaching our own kids, Lord. But let us remember this ministry, that it is important, and that parents are to be obeyed and listened to. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of looking in your word. Let us, as parents, be a solid example to our kids and guide them and help them as we live this life. And just for that time until they're gone, and until we don't have them under our own roofs anymore, Lord, that they move on in their lives and do something else, Lord, that we would take this real privilege and serve you with that and influence our kids for the better. So, Lord, we thank you for this time today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.